The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, here we go. Monday, Tuesday, and now Wednesday. That means William is here, and we have a lot to talk about. 5 days until the inauguration. We'll find out. It's been very quiet out there lately in terms of threats to Trump. I would think at this point you have to assume that he's probably being protected about as well as any human being on the planet could be by artificial and synthetic bodyguards, all kinds of surveillance, watching him, protecting him, etc. I think he's probably going to be okay. Here's another one. This Greenland issue. Has a lot of people really... The reactions are kind of interesting. Now, Panama, I think it should... That was a business. We built a business in a country with an agreement. Then a president gave the whole thing away for a buck. That was wrong. That's a business. And you work hard. A lot of people died putting that together, etc. So, okay, I'm not talking about stealing Panama, so don't get that. But Greenland, now that's a very interesting thing, William. What are your thoughts about the Greenland discussion that's going on now? I'm just curious. What do you think?
Well, I mean, we already protect Greenland, and, you know, we don't own it. My understanding is it's a very mineral resource-rich place beneath the ice.
You betcha.
I think giving away the Panama Canal obviously was a bad mistake. But, you know, again, both Panama and Greenland, to me, are a bit of a distraction because we just had an election where the focus was America and Americans. And I'm not entirely comfortable with all of Trump's, you know, chatter about Greenland and external things when I want the focus to be here. You know, we have a situation where American
citizens... Funny, he hasn't mentioned anything about the invaders, has he? Not lately.
Well, American citizens are going hand-to-hand with illegal alien felons and against apocalyptic backdrops. You know, the people of L.A. have had to personally stop, you know, an illegal alien felon waltzing down the avenue who is the main suspect for the, Kenneth fire.
Kenneth.
Juan Manuel Sierra, a.k.a. Juan Manuel Sierra Leyva, a felon convicted illegal alien waltzing down the neighborhood with a blowtorch setting people's properties on fire.
Showing off his 38 IQ.
Well, we don't know his IQ. For all we know, he's a trained assassin who's been through significant, Islamofascist country training or Chinese training or Iranian.
I don't think they need to train arsonists very well, but you may have a point. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, one of the main ways that I would float people around the country is to have them appear as homeless people, just wearing black clothes.
We probably have millions like that now, potentially. And you're right. Let me go back and clean up this thing about Greenland, though, real quick. I got an estimate from a friend today of what the U.S. would have to pay to buy Greenland. Now, Greenland is a huge 860 million square mile island or something like that. Alaska is 680 square million miles or something like that. These are miles. Anyway, if they're big. The price for Greenland, guess what it would be? Guess what the spread is? There's a spread between X and Y. What do you think that spread might be? I'll give you a hint. It's in billions.
Well, I would expect to be in billions, but I think that it would be, pretty subjectively priced. I mean,
it's weird that the spread is $12 billion to $77 billion. Those are estimates. Now, my point on that is, and you mentioned it, and I've been saying it from the beginning, underneath that ice may be $1 trillion worth of natural resources. That's a gold mine sitting up there. And there are only 50,000 people there. They don't want anything to do with the Danes. They want out. If the government here has given $250 billion to Ukraine, cranking out $77 billion to buy Greenland and take care of the people there properly, of course, seems like a hell of a steal, doesn't it?
Well, I think strategically one of the things that makes Greenland very important, right now there's a prohibition against, going for oil on it, but there's probably a bunch of natural gas and oil there, similar to Alaska. But most importantly are the rare earth elements. China has really put in a lot of effort to control rare earth element supplies around the planet.
That's right.
And the United States, doesn't have manufacturing. We don't have access to the rare earth elements. And there's things like graphite and copper and nickel in Greenland.
Not to mention
diamonds,
natural gas, petroleum, all
gold,
kinds of things up there.
Titanium.
Oh, yeah.
No, tungsten.
I would
uranium.
Support the purchase of Greenland for $100 billion. I would.
Well, I mean, what are we going to do? We don't have the money, so we would just be printing more of it. I mean, what would you like for it, Jeff? $300 billion? No problem. Let me go
Thank
over
you.
To the Federal Wait. Reserve computer
That's
here
right.
and type it in, and
the
there
money,
you go,
the
$300 billion.
Exist. It's a joke.
Wire to your account.
Buy it.
Don't worry. The American public will pay for it when the expansion of the economic of the currency that we just created to buy it. That's the other thing. I mean, the United States is completely bankrupt. We're over $30 trillion in debt, burning up a deficit.
36.
It's not really time to go on a shopping spree.
Oh, I don't think it matters anymore.
I'll buy a new house, I'll buy a new continent, I'll buy a new Panama Canal.
If we gave $250 billion to Ukraine, come on, this money means nothing to these people. It's just a game, it's numbers.
The biggest threat to America's existence and future is right here in the United States.
Couldn't agree more.
Where at any moment, anybody listening out there, don't care where you are, don't care what state you're in, you're a couple hours, if not a day away, from being in an apocalyptic scenario with an illegal alien walking down your road with a blowtorch. But there's more to it, Jeff. There's more to it.
That's why Democrats are buying firearms to protect themselves. They finally come around.
Democrats, some of them are probably buying firearms for more criminal purposes.
Understood.
But I put out a release today that Americans need to prepare. I mean, really, but Americans, you need to prepare yourself because here's your scenario. You find yourself in an apocalyptic environment. There's an illegal alien walking down the street with a blowtorch. In the case of L.A., they were lucky he didn't have a knife, he didn't have a gun, he didn't have a squad. He wasn't part of a coordinated Hamas-style into Israel-type cell with long arms or rifles. Okay, because, it's one thing to have an illegal alien felon walking down the lane setting your properties on fire. It's another one if he's got a pistol, right? It's a whole other level if he's got a rifle. But here's the thing. If you go out and you try to lay hands on an illegal immigrant of color, there's a lot, depending on where you're at in the country, there's a strong chance that a Democrat-controlled city, county, state, or federal agency is going to intervene or side with the illegal invader against you. So, I mean, and I'm not being facetious here. I'm not being hyperbolic. It is entirely possible, especially in a state like Maryland or Connecticut or Massachusetts or California or Oregon or Washington, or pick your big blue Democrat city-controlled state, and go out and try to explain to the police how the illegal immigrant that you've been holding for them was setting fire to things, and find yourself in jail and being prosecuted for having the audacity, you know, like the guy in the subway system, you know, who restrained the crazy black dude, you know, like Kyle Rittenhouse, like, you know.
Kyle Rittenhouse, I wonder what happened.
You know.
About him
if you're a person and you go out and try to defend yourself from one of these chosen one illegal alien invaders that have been brought here for the purpose of overthrowing the United States Republic, the state agencies are going to come down on you. And it just so happens that every single one of us is enveloped in an electronic surveillance censorship state control grid, where, you know, you're pinned down. You're already, you know, conquered. You're facing a fourth, fifth generation type of warfare that doesn't involve tanks and planes. It involves you getting chased down and economically neutered in your own country. They don't have to round you up. They don't have to put you in camps. You'll just find yourself in the van, in the tent down by the river, dying from fentanyl. It's happening everywhere you look. And then people begging on the streets, they're not, you know.
Here's my big worry. Here's my big worry. Mr. Holman and Mr. Trump continue to talk about the criminal element of the invaders here. Criminal. We're going to get them out first. Okay, that's fine. I can see that. What about the other 95% of them? There's about 1.2 million, they say, criminals here now illegally. It may be more, but that's what they're saying. A little over a million. And those are number one target. Okay, but what comes after that? That's a big question for me. I'm very interested to see how this is going to play out. I don't think they're going to do much after that. If they get rid of a million people and call them criminals, they can call it good. That's what they might do.
Well, you know, I'll take that first million, but the whole thing gets deflated the moment they start talking about any type of path to citizenship.
Of course.
Amnesty,
and I want the dreamers to stay. I want the dreamers to stay.
Yeah, that'll deflate the whole thing. It'll deflate the whole thing. And, you know, like, oh, okay, so you imported all these rapists and murderers to get us to feel like keeping all the rest of the illegals, which is what you wanted, which is what the globalists planned for us all along, is a really, really good deal, that you're going to get rid of some of the people after they're done raping and killing people. What a bargain. Wow. You know, our negotiation position here as American citizens has just really, really gone to hell. You know, no, we're not going to put up with any of that. But, yeah, it's probably coming. I mean, we've already got the rumblings and the rumors about it. But, you know, right now we do have two active pieces of legislation, which we need to try to hopefully next week get our Alley Pack activists focused on. The SAVE Act to stop illegals from voting is back in motion, and the Lake and Riley Act passed the House and has gone to the Senate, where it's being held up, no surprise. And, you know, we've got to get the public pressure campaigns, because none of these deportations are going to happen whatsoever without massive, organized public support campaigns, which is where we come in. You know, lots and lots of people, hundreds and thousands, or thousands of people across the country working in unison to pressure for these things. Because, I mean, look at where we've come. I mean, we've gotten the issue to the point where it's the biggest issue in the country, and it's the one that decided two of the three last elections for president, you know, and clearly it's gotten the attention of people. It's gotten the attention of Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg, and, you know, so big things have changed.
Steve
whether
Bannon
it's going to lead
has had his attention taken up by Musk as well. He's gone to war. He wants him out.
Yeah, well, I don't know if Bannon's in any position to throw anybody out.
Doubtful.
You know, I don't know Mr. Bannon. I appreciate his positions on a lot of things, but, you know, and I don't, I side with the, you know, let's not do the H-1B visa thing, you know, I'm on that side, the American side of that, but I'm not also ready to, like, see a war against Elon Musk. And it bothers me to, for people to say things like, oh, I'm going to, I don't know if Steve Bannon really did say he was going to have Elon Musk run out of there by the inauguration or whatever. I hope he didn't say something like that. You know, but I don't know. It's not the fight. It's not where the fight should be, in my opinion, right now. The fight needs to be
on
the
mandate
that we have.
We can assume the most optimistic path forward, at least what looks to be the path forward, and that would be to get rid of the criminal invaders first and then go after the rest. But I'm with William on this. I think that they could call that good and say, we're too busy with other things. We got a war here. We got a war, whatever. I just don't know. I don't see it. When he said, I want the Dreamers to stay, all bets were off. That's how I read it.
Well, and like I said, I hope to be wrong, but I feel that Trump beckoning to his supporters to come to D.C. bodes ill. I'm not saying that something bad is going to happen to his supporters in D.C. I'm saying that him beckoning for them to come to D.C.
does not set well with me.
He's
wrong. It's wrong. It should no. Don't go, everyone. Watch it on TV if you want to watch. Don't go. Too much danger. They could have a false flag, a bomb. They could have anything. Anything your mind could go to, that could happen. So I would just say,
I put out a release on it after our last program together, and I boiled it down to five reasons Republicans should not go to the inauguration. And I'm not trying to work against Trump or anything here, but you know, it's five that if he really cared about his supporters, he wouldn't beckon them to return, especially after what happened the last time he beckoned them to come on January 6, 2020.
You got it.
Trump has no control over the D.C. and federal agencies that are filled with smart, armed, dangerous Democrat appointees and employees who hate Trump supporters. And any Trump voter, conservative, Republican, or opponent of globalist and socialist agendas traveling to D.C. would be more secure keeping their identity and itinerary private, not packing a stadium for a rally and walk around with a red hat on. The federal and D.C. employees that control D.C. cannot be counted on to protect Trump and his voters and may be hazardous to Trump and his supporters. Also, I don't think it's the right time to be celebrating, doing victory laps, or having victory rallies and rubbing it in the face of Democrats. I don't like Democrats. I don't support Democrats. I disagree with Democrats. I work against Democrats. But at the same time, I don't see why we should agitate them with this "looky, looky, we won, da, 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 we won, we won." How's it, you know, well, what I got no interest in that. That's ego-driven, and because there's nothing for Trump to gain. He doesn't get to run for president again. There's no higher office to thing. D.C. is too expensive. I took a little peek. If you want to get you a hotel room up there during the inauguration, it's only going to cost you $600 to $1,000 per night. Who's got that kind of money? If you do,
it serves no purpose going to that event. None. He's going to
either get
in
there,
or he's not
going
to be sworn in, and that's all you have to think about.
Well, let's say that you went to the inauguration. You had a great time. You spent a couple thousand dollars and said, "Oh, I feel so great being part of history." Da 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 da. Your hotel tax, your food taxes, your parking meters, everything that goes to the city of Washington D.C., where 90% of the voters voted for Kamala Harris, and only 6% voted for Trump.
They hate us. They don't like us.
You'd be standing there giving your money, where in all directions, in every direction, over 90% of the people there, they're not your people. They don't. They're not. They're not with you. And then the fifth reason,
and I don't care what color they are. Let's make that clear. I don't care what color. 90%, they're leaning left so much they're going to fall over.
Well, five. Considering the recent political and terror attacks, the multiple assassination attempts against Donald Trump, the current online calls by leftists to converge on D.C. during the inauguration, Trump and Vance should not be exposing themselves to advertise times, locations, and crowds to any given terrorist attack opportunity.
That's not common sense, is it?
You know, I quoted Talking Heads from their song Life During Wartime from 1979. This ain't no party. This ain't no disco. This ain't no fooling around. No time for dancing or lovey-dovey. I ain't got time for that now. This is not the time for this. But I've said my piece. Not that it's going to affect or influence. I will say this. I expected to get more pushback from the Alipack email subscribers. Had a couple unsubs, but, you know, no major. I got a couple. Yeah, I agree, Williams. And I didn't get any type of significant pushback on me venting on this topic. So I take that as a good sign. I hope that is a good sign.
All right. I do, too. I'm going to send you another picture here. You'll like this. Okay, there's a picture of Vance on the right, Trump on the left, and looking at each other behind a bulletproof glass pane. And in between them, kind of looking like Larry Moe and Curly, right in the middle is Musk wearing a T-shirt. And the two males are all dressed up in coats and ties. And here's Musk. I'll send you this picture. You'll like this. Maybe I'll actually try and put it up, too. Bannon is apparently very serious about this. And let me find what he said, because it is interesting. I'll have to pull this up here. Hang on a second. I'd like to know if we could do it. I'd like to know how you feel about Greenland. So maybe we'll do that at some point. I think
Bannon just get out of jail? I mean, Bannon went to jail. You know, the main thing I'm worried about with Musk and a lot of these other people is that all of the first round of 2016 illegal immigration fighters that got close to Donald Trump, like Bannon and Jeff Sessions and Chris Kobach, Sheriff Joe Arpaio and Congressman Steve King, they all got, the Proud Boys, the Oath Keepers, they all got wrecked. They got either their political careers destroyed, thrown out of office, or in case of the Oath Keepers, they're looking at, Stuart Rhodes is in prison for 18 years.
I can't now. No. Here's Bannon, quote, "I made it my personal thing to take this guy down." That's a quote. Bannon vows to keep Musk out of the White House. Steve Bannon is warned that he will do everything in his power to keep Elon Musk out of the White House as the fallout from the H-1B visa debate over Christmas continues to spread. I will have
But everybody knows that Steve Bannon was fired from his job and run out of the White House himself, and him saying that about another personality is, whether it's true or not, it's going to be perceived as sour grapes.
All right, here. Yes, I will have Elon Musk run out of here by Inauguration Day. He's got 5 days left, said Bannon in an interview with an Italian newspaper. He will not have a blue pass to the White House. He will not have full access to the White House. He will be like any other person. He is truly an evil guy, a very bad guy. I made it my personal thing to take this guy down, as I said earlier. So
I really hope that that's a misquote. I hope that that's like media fiction. I really hope that Mr. Bannon is not speaking that way.
This is from your favorite website, InfoWars.
Well, and look, even if I felt that way about Elon Musk, I wouldn't speak with that sense of bravado or that sense of hubris.
Oh, I've had this up for 2 days in headlines, I think. 2 days.
Yeah, well, not the fight I'm interested in. I think I would wish Mr. Bannon and Mr. Musk would focus on the deportation of 20 million illegal immigrants, which is what we need to be focused on.
Look at the picture I sent you, and you'll get an idea, I think, of what enrages Bannon. It's kind of amusing.
Well, I'm just glad I didn't go to January 6th. If I'd been anywhere inside the D.C. city limits, they would have hunted me down and said something about me to lock me up.
Yes,
I'd probably still be in jail right now, wondering if Trump would notice.
They wouldn't let you do the program from jail either.
No. No, they wouldn't.
All right. I got another interesting picture here. It's an overlay of Greenland over the U.S., It's a very interesting. It's about 25% the size of, a third. I sent you that, too. You can take a look at it. I think there are going to be some big things. Trump would like to go down in history as the man who brought Greenland back home to North America. Now, don't discount that. There's a lot of stuff under that ice. Oh, unimaginable things. Treasures. So, 12 billion to 77 billion. That's the spread I saw. Anyhow, I don't think the little town next to me, 25 minutes away, has 80,000 people in it. And all of Greenland has only 50. So, you know, Trump and the powers that be could make them all millionaires, and they'd vote to join the U.S. This thing's going to be big because of the resources under that ice. I keep saying that. They're huge. Enormous. All right, what else do you have on your plate here?
Oh, we're not doing the break?
I'll do the break. Yeah, we'll do the break. Thank our sponsors. Please get your Allison C, everyone. It's definitely cold and flu season and other things. Get the Allison C. Keep it on hand. Don't let me know, oh, I'm terribly sick. Can you get me some Allison? I get that from, you know, friends. And get it. Arm yourself. Protect yourself. We'll be right back.
It with chemicals from deadly carcinogenic pesticides, herbicides, and now GMO issues makes this so-called food that most everybody eats virtually worthless as a clean source of nutrition and health. BioSuperfood was created during years of the highest level quality research by hundreds of scientists and lab technicians. Each and every pure organic little green capsule of BSF contains over 15,000 different nutrients. Many of these are essential for life, and many more simply don't exist in the foods most Americans eat. Take the Bio Superfood banner on Rents.com and start living again. Electromagnetic radiation and Wi-Fi pollution is constantly surrounding us. There is no escape or practical way to block it short of living in a Faraday cage. As we know, private and business life on cell phones, tablets, and all digital devices can't function without Wi-Fi and electromagnetic radiation. Why not learn how to neutralize the danger from ionizing radiation now? We invite you to consider protecting yourself with the new Protect Pro Smart Defender series. Proven and certified by the BESA laboratories in Austria, these small, flat discs actually harmonize electromagnetic radiation and protect you while allowing you full use of all your portable Wi-Fi devices, wherever you go. That's right, there's now a way to safely and confidently use all your digital devices thanks to this brilliant technology from Protect Pro. Just one little disc is proven to change the nature of Wi-Fi EMR ionizing radiation, making it safe to be around and to use. Go to protectpro.net and read the lab-certified test results for yourself. So be safe. Go to protectpro.net.
Scientists in England have succeeded in stabilizing the time-honored substance in garlic that destroys harmful bacteria, viruses, molds, yeast, and fungus. This all-natural microbe killer is called Allison C, and it's now available to you in 100% vegetarian capsules only on the New Earth page at Rents.com. This powerful broad-spectrum antimicrobial agent is harmless to friendly bacteria and has been concentrated to equal an astonishing 35 cloves of garlic in each vegetarian capsule. Think about it. The antibacterial, antiviral strength of 35 odorless cloves of garlic in just one capsule. Allison C is so effective it even destroys superbug MRSA in test after test. Allison C is truly an incredible advance in natural medicine. And with the threats of bacterial and viral diseases and pandemics growing, no home should be without it. Learn more and order Allison C on the New Earth page at Rents.com.
Are you prepared for the future? Do you know how to navigate past the upcoming dangers before it's too late and seize budding opportunities before others do? Forecasting worldwide since 1980, Gerald Celeni, publisher of the Trends Journal, provides timely and accurate trend forecasts that have earned him the reputation as the most trusted name in trends. The proof is in the hundreds of accurate forecasts Celeni has made over the past 30 years. The 1987 stock market crash, the clean food trend, the dot-com bust. The Trends Journal alerts subscribers to early subtle signs of crucial trends that will shape our future. It allows readers to anticipate change, recognize the implications, and take proactive strategies. Put your money where your mind is with Gerald Celente's brilliant and indispensable Trends Journal. Go to trendsjournal.com or call 845-331-3500. That's 845-331-3500.
Okay, welcome back. Talking on Wednesday with William here. Oh, here's another. I'm going to put that picture of Greenland over the U.S. up in the bottom of the two big graphic areas I have. We call it the bottom splash art area. So I'll put it up there. And the picture with Musk standing in between JD and DT.
Well, here's something to keep an eye out for, Jeff.
I have a quiz question for you, too, when we're done. Go ahead.
All right. Well, you know, the last program or two back, we had done a press release, demanding New York release the name of the victim of the illegal alien that set, you know,
yes,
that woman on fire. And we found out the apparent reason to us that they hid her identity is a white woman. And, you know, Gen Xer.
I sent you the picture of her. I hope you used it.
From her high school or
She was kind of an attractive, pretty young lady in a way.
Yeah, and she looked like a lot of young ladies from 1984 with the big 80s haircut and everything. And then over in California, you got illegals going around starting fires that are destroying large sections of the city and people's homes. And here from January 15th to today, tonight, 7:05 p.m., this is like New York Post, I'm not sure if they're the first to break this, New York Police Department hunts for serial arsonist who set a fire next to sleeping Queens subway passenger. A masked serial arsonist callously set ablaze next to a dozing subway passenger during a bizarre hour-long spree across Manhattan and Queens last week, police said. So this happened last week, and we're just finding out about it. The fire broke.
Well, you're not surprised, I'm sure. Go ahead.
Yeah, but I mean, how many people are doing this? And is this copycat, or are these people attached to sleeper cells?
Both.
How many people have been activated and said, go out and start lighting things and people on fire?
I haven't seen anything yet, would be my guess.
The firebug that has not been apprehended first lit a parked New York Police Department car on fire. He started with a cop car around City Hall at 2:20 in the morning in front of 254 Broadway on January 10th, according to cops. 15 minutes later, the arsonist seen in surveillance footage wearing a black puffer jacket, black hood, and black face mask. You know, that illegal that they caught, L.A. Hand-Hand, he was wearing all black, too. He ignited another empty vehicle ablaze near 14 Murray Street. Both vehicles were left damaged from the flames. In his third arson, the pyromaniac lit a paper cup on fire and chucked it into a garbage can near the Brooklyn Bridge City Hall train station.
Yeah.
The fire starter then struck again, torching a pile of garbage next to a sleeping strap hanger on the northbound train inside Woodhaven Avenue station around 3:40 a.m., according to police and subway footage. Eerie video released by the NYPD shows the arsonist lurking over the subway passenger as flames rise next to the unsuspecting man. And, oh, yeah, look here. You can sort of see the guy's hand. It's another sleeping white person. It's another white person. Sort of common denominator there. A lot of white people getting set on fire on subways. The firebug then casually walks off the train, the video shows. Police said the wave of fire is being investigated by the arson and explosion unit. So this guy, after several high-profile burning of a woman, high-profile fires in L.A., high-profile illegal arrested, and this guy, you know, he looks sort of, I don't know, you can see his eyes, and he looks like he's either Hispanic or Middle Eastern descent. I'll send you the picture of him, Jeff, but how many people walking around with lighters would it take to bring America to our knees? And how much, what was the price tag? I wonder what the police fire rescue response, like if you put a price tag on how much this one guy not just the damaged cars, but like the response, the personnel, the people, the training, the equipment. How much of public services did this guy...
You're costing us a fortune.
With a 50-cent Bic lighter.
Yeah, well, an idiot. A trained arsonist is not going to do that. They're going to go surreptitiously, moving around behind the scenes, throwing things out of cars in the backcountry, whatever. They've got ways to do it now. You don't have to get out with a can of gas and light it off. Anyway, these people.
Well, I mean,
stupid.
if I were running a sleeper, if I was running an operation that was going to
don't show, give anybody any ideas now.
No, you know what? There is no. These ideas are known. These ideas, ancient Chinese province leaders and fiefdoms used to send ninjas into each other's territory to burn grain and hay and structures and poison wells and do nothing that I'm saying is anything that hasn't been done throughout the course of human history. These are known things that people do. Like you do have the occasional crazy person who goes out and does terrible things and crimes and arsons because they're a lone crazy person. But here in the United States, if you were an Islamofascist country, state actor, cell of some type of sect, doomsday cult, communists, whatever. You hate America, you hate the United States, send some people in and have them train or influence some people to go out and just start lighting Dixie. You can do it by lighting
Dixie
cups. It can happen
anytime. It can happen. And this could all light off on the inauguration. They could have hundreds of thousands ready to go now to push in that direction. It's all on the table.
Two men in a car. Two men in a car with a couple gallons of gas and some bottles with rags. You know,
Molotov cocktails. Easy.
Molotov cocktail can set a state on fire overnight.
I know. I do.
This is the situation that we're in because of the people that they have led in here and brought in here that hate us and hate our country. And some of them are just going to act out because they're criminals. Some of them are going to just act out and manifest their hatred or their anger over something. And others are possibly part of more organized sleeper and terror cells.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
And Americans need to be ready for that because you may have to go hand-to-hand with them.
Right,
and if you do go hand-to-hand with them, your city, state, county, or federal agents may come in and side with the criminal.
Right. You've got, let's say, 10% are driven by hate and all of that. Take 10% out of a million of them. You've got 100,000 troops, commandos, whatever. Take 30 million out of that, take 10% of the 30 million, and you got big trouble. Now, they're right now in the U.S., as I think many of you know, about 5.5 million Communist Chinese PLA members here. They don't get in here. They don't get exit papers if they're not members of the party. They're controlled. So let's say 5.5 million Chinese here. Take 10%. That's a standing army of over 500,000. That's a huge army. Our army isn't going to be able to deal with that. Anyway, it's all, if it's organized and they want to do it, it's going to be hell on earth, easily. Because the hatred is here, the stupidity is here. Stir in hatred with a 60 IQ and you got trouble. Okay. Here's my quiz. Is Donald Trump the first U.S. president to want, as in covet, Greenland? Yes, yes or no? Or how about we'll give you maybe.
You're asking me?
That was your quiz. Maybe.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
All right. Okay.
Maybe Teddy
Roosevelt
wanted
it. He's not the first. He is not the second. He is not the third. Nor is he the fourth president to want Greenland to become part of the United States. How's that grab you? You didn't know that. No, I didn't know that. Harry Truman, in the Second World War, made Denmark an offer to buy it. True? True. Where the hell are the other two? I'll find them. There's four. Anyway, so don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. There may be something to this, and I actually expect it to happen. I do. There's too much. Okay, would you rather see all that wealth exploited by Britain or us? I mean, if it's going to help the United States recover its stability in any way, and that is up for grabs, I would suggest that it would be a very good thing for us to get it. Ah, and President Andrew Johnson? Remember Andrew Johnson? Succeeded who? Abraham Lincoln. And so did William Howard Taft in 1910. So there you go. Truman, Taft, Johnson, and Trump have all wanted to buy Greenland. So I think the historical precedent is there, and I would suggest that I think the odds favor it happening. We'll find out. And if you're thinking back that I'm some kind of an imperialist ghoul, no, this is historic. We're going back to 1865, people have wanted that part of the world to become part of this country. Anyway, we'll see. But I am very concerned, as you are, about Trump's real position on deporting 30 million, or however many there are, all of them. But I do agree that getting rid of the registered criminal element first is sensible. That should be done. These murders, for me, if you've got eyewitnesses to somebody doing something, they should be taken out and immediately dispatched. And we don't need them on this planet. They don't fit with our way of life. Maybe that sounds too harsh. I don't think so. Take a life, you lose. Eye for an eye. All right, William, it's your turn.
Well, as people envision and prepare themselves to have to try to stop illegal alien terror sleeper cell agents on their block themselves while the state works against you, I forgot to mention the real important part about it, that you'll be doing it on an apocalyptic background drop without one or more essential things such as water, phones, or power. FBI Director Wray, who I'm not a fan of, told Congress about 11 months ago that Chinese hackers were poised to do major takedowns of U.S. infrastructure, real-world harm consequence infrastructure takedowns.
Well, like I said, with 5.5 million here, William, 10% is all they'd need out of that whole group to have an army of over 500,000 men and women ready to fight this country. Inside its borders, 10%.
Well, and look at the part of LA that's burning down. It's the gentrified area. It's the wealthy people. Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker's house burned down. James Woods' house burned down. Mel Gibson.
Reese Witherspoon.
Two of the BLM founders.
Who's the old actor?
Burned.
Anthony Hopkins lost his house.
Yeah, these are posh estates, and there are people.
Bridges, the actor, not Bo, the other one. Jeff Bridges.
A lot of these are liberals, and they're people that have supported or didn't care about illegal immigration or open borders, and now it's burning them out because they don't realize that these people on the streets from Guatemala and Mexico look at them as invaders, stolen land. Look at all these wealthy American honkies, and they're burning you out because they hate you. They hate your race. They hate your identity. They hate your nationality. They hate your wealth. They hate your money. They hate your capitalism. They hate it all. And,
you forgot about Paris Hilton.
Oh, her house burned too?
Yeah.
Well, I was looking at the report. This is the real heartbreaker here that, where is it? The BLM founder, Patrice, what's her name? Patrice two mansions that belonged to the BLM founder that took all that money and went around on the big mansion.
She stole a ton.
Yeah, yeah.
Police Cullors.
Patrice Cullors.
Cullors.
Two of her three Los Angeles mansions were consumed by fire.
Oh. See, they're evaluating the damages from these fires on a very interesting table of figures. If you think about it, the average fire damage done, well, it burns in the hills and rural areas. This burns down houses. Houses are each. All those Altadena homes were 1 million and up. Pacific Palisades were 5 to 10 million, probably on average. So the losses, as calculated from the value of the houses, is huge. That's not to say the fire was that big necessarily. L.A. County has L.A. City has 5 million. Let me find out. 5 million people, and we lost 24. That's sad, but it's an infinitesimally small amount of human life lost, and an even smaller amount when you consider the entire city and county of dwellings. They lost 12,000 dwellings.
Well, they ran white men out of the fire department. They put the L.A. Fire Department under the control of three lesbians named Kimberly. The department is literally controlled by three lesbians named Kimberly. They didn't have water in the hydrants. They didn't tell them. They stopped doing fire breaks in the hills to control. Apparently, before Western colonization, it is believed that that part of California had over 4 million acres burned per year in the natural course of things.
That's right.
Right. But by the 1950s, it was just a couple tens of thousand acres burned because of all the modern, mostly Western civilization, European descendancy, fire control technologies, methodologies, fire breaks, fire roads, fire access.
It's called fire management and land management. And all it does is set up for disastrous fires. The one guy in Altadena that said, "I'm not leaving," he stayed with a garden hose. He said none of these houses had to burn. If everyone had stayed home and had their garden hoses going, no problem. We could have stopped these fires. Right there. It's all perspective. It's all news. Remember how they do it. Los Angeles has over 1.4 million housing units in the city. We lost 12,000. You couldn't see that on a chart. I'm not demeaning in any way the losses these people suffered. It's horrible. I can't even imagine it. But let's keep this thing in perspective. It's a fly speck, if that. 3,600,000 in the county. So, anyway.
Well, but the destruction is apocalyptic. I mean, it's amazing how much of the city
has burned. I've been through fires bigger than that with not quite as many structures gone, but well over 1,000. And I've seen them.
Well, how far back do you have to go to see this many structures inside a major U.S. city burned? Chicago, 68? Watch riots?
I don't know the answer to that.
Rodney King?
I don't know.
Because what
I don't
it looks
think
like
that
to
many
me,
burned. No, I don't think that many burned with King. I'll bet it was a few hundred.
When you remove the people and the cultures who built a civilization, you lose that civilization. And from what I've heard and seen in the news and the reports and the podcasts and the images and the videos and everything together, what's happening in Los Angeles is a civilization reversal that I don't think what just happened in L.A. would have happened anywhere near the scale in the 1950s, 60s, 70s, and 80s.
The Rodney King riots, about 1,000 buildings were damaged or burned in total.
So this is 12,000 to 14,000.
12 times. Yeah. 12,000.
And, I mean, the Chicago fire, the legendary Chicago fire, that was before we had building codes and everything. See, this fire's happened after we've had, you know, decades of building codes and fire codes and in technology improvement.
Well, I think that guy's right. If they'd have stayed there and fought, most of the houses would have been saved. They were all gone. There was no fire suppression work there at all. He said
They had not cut the fire department budget, had hired the bravest and strongest.
You know, it's $49 million altogether that wretch cut. 17.8 directly, but the total amount cut was almost $50 million. rotten.
And the mayor of L.A. and Gavin Newsom, I've seen several videos of them smiling and acting all giddy. They're like bubbly.
They're sick.
They're like, oh.
The Great Chicago Fire of 1871.
Yeah.
How many died?
I have no
idea. Best guesstimate, 300 people.
Yeah, I was going to say around 300. But that was before modern building codes. There were no fire breaks between
That's
the buildings.
Right.
People
right.
put together shacks. A lot of the shacks had tar
well, they
and other flammable.
Qualify as houses, you're right. 17,000 structures were burned in the Chicago fire.
But we learned from that. And we changed that, and we built
right.
it into our civilization. You know, we couldn't even build buildings more than a story tall until, who was it, Ben Franklin and them got the lightning rods worked out. We couldn't even have tall structures until we figured out how to do that. And so what's happening in L.A. is that the people and the culture, our American people and culture that built the civilization that made that city and that state possible, they're losing that civilization because they're pushing the people and the culture who built it out.
Well, the people
how many
are
people are left
are voting in their own destructors. These people that you mentioned, they're not there to serve the community. They're there to serve their DEI LGBTQ agendas. That's what they're doing.
Oh, you That's just all. Hate lesbians named Kimberly, Jeff. That's all. You're just showing your hate towards lesbian firefighters.
Prove my innocence. I didn't even know that all three were named Kimberly.
Three lesbians named Kimberly.
Could be your next album title. All right. I think we're out of time here. Anything you want to add to that, sir?
Appreciate folks listening, coming by, and signing up for our email alerts at alipac.us, alipac.us.
We'll find out who the next president is next week when you're here.
Yeah. We'll see you next week. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Good night, William. All right. We'll be right back with Erica in just a few. Hold on.